Through the Gryffindor is hitting the road once again for Through the Griffin Tour this upcoming March, and we are headed to the southwest section of the country this time. We are coming to Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Houston, and Dallas. I am so excited for this tour. As usual, we'll have our VIP tickets in case you want to get, to meet me and Ben. We will be doing a Jay versus Ben before the show, answering questions submitted by you guys. We'll be doing Q&A and, of course, a live performance of Through the Gryffindor. It is my favorite thing in the world, being out on the road, meeting you guys, interacting with the community. There is seriously nothing like it at all. Tickets are on sale now to every single one of those show dates. If you want more information about dates and times and specific venues, you can head on over to supercarlinbrothers.com/events. Seriously, I cannot wait to see you guys in real life and to be back on the road with the entire crew. All of them will be there. You get to meet the entire SCB crew. Like, I know we talk about magic, but it is real. This is the real magic of the show. It's not in the books. It's in the people. We'll see you there.
Everybody, hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Yes, here we are, Ben. I am back. I think I'm so a little full from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I had three of them.
You had three?
I had three Thanksgivings.
Okay, I just had one.
Just one, which just was one. At your house.
It was at my house. You were there.
I was. Which, guys, by the way, if you need like the ultimate Thanksgiving Day experience, you need to go to Jan Beth's house.
Yeah? Yeah, that was the ultimate Thanksgiving Day experience.
You guys did so great. I'm always so impressed. Like, it's there's like a really, like, I think that this becomes more of a thing the older you get. Like, you remember like when you were a kid and you thought like your school teachers lived at the school because it was just like hard to comprehend them having like their own home life and potentially kids and relationships and all the things that come with adulthood.
Yeah.
Like, and then you get older and like tax season rolls around and you like call your mom or your dad or whatever and you're like, how does this work again? Because I'm pretty sure I'm doing it wrong. And you know, it's like there's these like skills that I think we believe magically manifest into ourselves when we become adults.
Right. Yeah.
And the truth is, at least it, so far for me, I feel like the experience, it's like the rollout is a lot slower than maybe I expected. Like, you know, obviously there's plenty of things that we do that are very like adult, you know. Well, that sounds bad. Not like that, but like, you know, mom is like, I'm not going to listen to the pop anymore. You guys, you've taken it too far.
Well, we like, have kids, you know.
We have kids. Yeah. We do have kids. You're right. That's a good point. Put that image in everyone's mind. No, like launching the boat for the first time. Like when I went to Vermont without mom and dad, you know, like the idea of setting up other people's fishing poles or something like that. You know,
there
are these like tiny, small rites of passage that are things traditionally like done by your keepers, you know, by the people who are taking care of you and guiding you and doing all those types of things. And like Thanksgiving dinner, the art of cooking a turkey, like, you know, it's like you might have a turkey sandwich.
It's like nerve-wracking. It's like I am in charge of the turkey.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like it's not like turkey is like an unusual meat to eat like throughout the week, but having a fully prepared turkey is not like, it's a very ceremonial thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's the symbol of the day. It's the star of the show.
It is.
I mean, it's not everyone's favorite thing, but it is at everyone's house.
Right.
Like everyone made a turkey this weekend, and doing it is like, you know, if you're hosting, you're probably the one making it.
Right.
And like people are like, everyone's going to try it because it's the turkey. And it's like that, you don't, you, that is the one, like you don't want to mess it up. You don't want to mess it up because that's like, this is Thanksgiving. We eat turkey. Boom. There you go.
Right. Like it would be so hard to go and be like, oh my gosh, like the house was beautifully decorated. They did such a good job cleaning, you know, their everything about it was wonderful and glorious. The turkey kind of sucked.
Kind of not so good.
You know, yeah. Like really like dry. Mm-hmm. I think of like Christmas Vacation where they're like cut into it. It's like a hot air bag.
It's right. Like, it's like all the meat is just gone, kind right. of.
Yes. It's like, what even happened inside of
it? I
there?
Know. It's just like dehydrated. And
have you ever done, and I know you have, I'm asking rhetorically, but like, you know, like the Jiffy Pop popcorn where it's got like the aluminum foil and mm-hmm. you can like cook it on like a hot eye or like over yeah. a campfire or something. And it like, it sort of bubbles up and creates right. this like bladder. And then when you're done, you go through and you cut the top off or yep. you like cut into it kind of like a sear and like a whole bunch of steam and stuff comes out. That's what I always think. Like every single time I cut open like a Jiffy Pop bag, which is, to be clear, is like one time per year. But I always think about the Christmas Vacation turkey.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I don't think I've used one of those since we were kids.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Man, miss it now. Honestly, I bet the kids would just love it.
I bet they would. They already like making popcorn.
Right.
The way yeah. we do it. Yeah. Which, by the way, if you're not making stovetop popcorn, like I really urge you to try it as the host of a show called Popcorn Culture.
Yeah, I mean, just take three tablespoons of your cooking oil.
Yep.
Put it in the bottom of like a medium-sized pot that yep. has a lid. Mm-hmm. Throw in three kernels of popping
like
corn.
Medium-high heat.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Good call.
Yeah.
Good call. Yeah. Give it a couple minutes, few minutes. Let the three kernels each pop. That's going to let you know that your oil's hot enough. Dump. I usually do a half cup.
That's what I do.
Of dry kernels in there and put your glass lid preferred so you can see what's going on.
At this point, I would put in a teaspoon of salt on top.
Oh,
put in the kernels, then put in a teaspoon of salt on top. Shake it up. Get all the kernels coated.
Okay.
Then put the lid on.
Pro tip there. Okay. Go. I haven't been doing that.
Oh,
I'm gonna have to start.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
So you don't have to salt after the fact.
You salt during the fact. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Then give it a good shake the whole time. Kind of keep those kernels like properly rolled over.
Yeah. Well, the reason you shake is not even, it's like, I feel like some people are like, you got to shake it. That's like making them pop or whatever. It's
oh,
like,
sure.
What you're doing is as they pop, some are getting caught in the now fluffed popcorn.
Ah.
And so you're shaking it so the kernels will fall to the bottom and get cooked by the oil.
To trickle back down. Yes. See, I always think of it as like evenly roasting like a chestnut over an open fire.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Just to be thematic. But like I almost think of it like, well, you wanna kind of get that nice golden, I mean, kernels are already kind of golden in color.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a nice even heat. Mm-hmm. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it really matters, but I do it.
I eat roasted chestnuts like literally once a year, and it is at Dickens of a Christmas, which is this like downtown Christmas event that happens every Friday in Roanoke. And there's always this one little area where they have a model train just sort of going in circles, or maybe it's like a whole track set up or whatever, but there'll also be a guy in the middle roasting chestnuts and he'll just hand them out to you. And that is the one time a year, every year I have them. I'm always like, these are so good. And Beth's always like, I don't even really like these. And I'm like, you're crazy. These are amazing.
You're wrong. I'm eating yours.
Yeah. I was like, this is why I don't even care about the trains. I wanted the chestnuts. That's why I came over here. And then I don't like, never once have I even tried making them myself, even though I think they're really good.
Yeah. I got you. Well, so anyway, that's our stovetop popcorn recipe.
There you go.
You can call it the Carlin way if you feel like
it. Yeah. You know what? If you really want to get fancy, instead of doing the salt at that point, that's when you can do the sugar too.
You could do sugar. Yeah.
You can do sugar there. And then guess what? When it pops, kettle corn.
Instant kettle corn.
That's it. That's, you know, make your own. You're welcome.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
In advance. Yeah. You can pour on the melted butter afterwards if you want, you know.
I usually
toss
do that.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I usually don't because I find it to be like, I just like regular salted popcorn so much. But Luke loves the butter.
He loves the butter.
And so now I've been adding it. And it's like one of those things where it's like, once it's on there, I'm like, it's so much better. It's like really good.
It is really good.
I know. It's so good. And I'm like, no, it's like, it makes it so much worse for you, you know.
I know.
But also like not that much worse.
Yeah, I mean, I think of it just kind of as like a treat, you know. It's like, you know, it's just, it's fine. It and is. Especially now, like, where we've like started doing like an established movie night with Addison.
Yeah.
It's definitely like the whole experience. And she loves like the M&Ms. Like, she'll dump the M&Ms into her popcorn and everything to like have it be like this sweet and salty, wonderful concoction. And so even that, like, kind of like going on the pilgrimage down to the convenience store, you got to start them early with things like this, you know.
Convenience stores or popcorn?
No, convenience stores. Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, you know that I love a convenience store.
I absolutely know you do. Are you hoping, or now, are you bringing her to the convenience store hoping that she too shall develop a love of convenience stores, or so that her convenience store cup will have been appropriately filled as a child such that she doesn't feel the never-ending draw of the convenience store?
You know, I think that there's something about witnessing your dad's like raw passion for something that just gets instilled into the youngins.
Yeah.
And so I think there's no two ways about it. She's going to be a convenience store kind of kid.
How do you have like a way of judging feels like a harsher word than I'm looking for, but of, I'm going to use it anyway, of judging a convenience store.
Oh, now,
see, or is it just sort of like I'm here for whatever offering you have, and I'm open to that experience.
See, it would be like being like, I love dating. I married my wife, and I'm with her forever.
Right.
Like, that's, you know, like, it's like, I like my favorite, one of my favorite things to do is date my wife, who I am married to.
Right.
And only her.
Right.
You know, like, that's my relationship with the convenience store. It's like,
okay,
you find your one, and then, you know, it's like, you're diehard loyal.
Right.
Like I don't get the same kick like when I'm like on a road trip stopping in a convenience store, which I do, you know. Like, I'll go in and get my travel payday. That's my travel food.
That's your travel food. It's a payday.
My candy of choice.
It's really good.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there is something different and nice about that. But my convenience store is my convenience store. And everywhere I've ever lived, I've always found it. I found the one.
Okay.
And
but when you're like out on the road stopping for like a this is just like a quick pee break and you run in to like grab a drink, you're not like, wow, you know what I really like about this one is that they've got this, they've taken the time to add this section of candy, which isn't in most places.
No, but I will say that when we were out west on tour and we went into that one and they had like a collection of liquors, including the rare bourbons that we are like constantly on the hunt for.
Yeah.
I love that.
That was good.
That was like walking into like a store where they were like, we have rare stuff. And it was like, how?
There is an absolute novelty to living in a state like Virginia where they do not sell liquor outside of the ABC store.
Right. We have like a designated store system that handles all of our liquor, but you can't buy it at the grocery store and you can't buy it at convenience stores.
Yeah. Or anywhere like that. You can buy wine at those places and beer at those places, just not liquor.
Right.
But so when you're in then a place where all of a sudden liquor is just like at the convenience store, it's just like, oh my gosh.
It's like, they're allowed to do this.
They're allowed to do this. What fun is this?
Cops come.
I know. Should we get some? We could do it. It feels illegal, but we could.
We could. No. Yeah. So there's that as far as convenience stores goes.
Yeah.
I also realized that like, This occurs to me because I've also talked about my love for taquitos, which is sold, and specifically 7-Eleven taquitos.
Yeah.
And specifically the like taco and cheese flavor.
Got it.
So it's like, while I say I like taquitos, it's like same thing. It's not like I'm a connoisseur of all taquitos. Right. I like those.
Right.
And those are the ones that I like, and they are amazing and delicious. And I'm starting to realize that maybe like my own personal, like, because I think like some of like my in-laws and stuff would be like, Ben, you're a little bit bougie. And I'm like, I don't know if that's always true. Mm-hmm. There are things that I like to do more specifically, but then at the same rate, like when I flew out and I decided when I flew out to get my latest tattoo in Los Angeles, which, yes, bougie, like I went to a ridiculously far away place to work with a very specific artist to do a very cool thing, and I don't, no regrets there.
Right.
However, like, I get to the hotel room that night and I realize that my impulse was to do the exact same impulse I always have whenever like Alice is away for like a night or whatever, which is to order a Pizza Hut personal pizza.
Is it real? Is that what you got?
Dude, I love the Pizza Hut personal pizza. Like the little, they used to sell.
I know
them.
It, yeah.
Yeah. And like, you get one sometimes for like doing like the accelerated reader
program.
That's
my relationship with the personal pan pizza at
Pizza Hut was that, like, every month, if you got like so many points for accelerated reader at school,
yeah,
you get a free personal pan pizza.
Right.
And we would cash in on that all the time.
All the time. All the time. Yeah. No problem whatsoever. And so that was the thing, is that I was like, I get out there, you know, and of course, I mean, to be fair, I've been traveling all day. It had been a very, very long day. It was raining like crazy in California, which usually is not doing. And it was night and it was dark and I was tired and all those types of things. So I was sort of working with like a DoorDash menu in the first place.
Right.
Like that's kind of like what I was going off of. But I could have ordered something that was more like California specific, but I was like, you know what? It impacts no one but me, and I want my personal pan pizza, my breadsticks, and you know what? I also got the boneless wings.
Wow.
I know. I know. I couldn't even eat it all. It was like, it was too much food. But I was so happy. Like, I was just sitting there and I was in bed. I was watching the TV show You on Netflix, which Alice hates it.
She hates it?
Well, it's not that she hates it. Alice, I think at this point, has decided that, like, when we get to the end of our day and we've got Addison down and we're going to go sit on the couch and try to, like, enjoy the last dregs of, like, energy that we have left, she doesn't want to watch something that's going to stress her out.
Oh.
And something about stalker, semi-serial killer status, like, seems to get to her.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't understand what's bothering you.
Yeah. What's the problem here?
Right. Yeah.
Puts them in the box.
Right. It's fine. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, then he keeps moving the box other places. Moving the box. Like, are you serious?
He keeps being like, how'd you get that box there, man? The box is a character.
The box is a character. The
box is a character.
It truly is. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I was sitting there eating my personal pan pizza, in bed in the hotel watching You. And I mean, I like, it was pure bliss.
Yeah.
Like, but this is a thing. Like, I mean, that is like my guilty pleasure,
right?
Like,
just like simple guy, you know? I just want my personal pan pizza.
The DoorDash guy rolled up and I, you know, went out and I was sitting in the lobby waiting for him to arrive, and he's like, hey man, how's it going, you visiting? And I started giving my like whole life story. I was sure. Like, yeah, I'm here for a tattoo, also this is like my favorite meal, I'm so thank you for bringing it. Like, I know you didn't make it, but you brought it to me.
You brought it.
I now have it because you exist.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I just, you know, and you know, then I gave him a hug and we exchanged phone numbers, we're pen pals now. No, I'm just kidding, the rest of that stuff didn't happen.
Yeah.
I mostly was just like, all right man, have a good night.
Yeah.
And then I walked back to my room and I ate it.
There you go. This is so funny to hear, because like typically whenever it seems like pre Addison being in your life, I feel like there was a lot of like Saturdays where you would just sort of have like alone time where like you did not know like how to exist, almost like just what do I do? Like I'm at home. I'm by myself. No one's making me do anything. I can literally do whatever I want. But how do I do that?
Dude, I struggle with it so bad. And I genuinely think that this is something that dated back to like high school, maybe even pre-high school days. Like when I go back to like the early like adolescence for myself, like I would be... like before social media, there was AOL Instant Messenger, which usually like if I got home at the end of the day, it was like I would get on AIM.
Yeah.
And I would talk to my friends.
Right.
And then with the advent of texting, it was like I was pretty much texting my friends throughout all day, every day. So like so the established order was almost that like even like when I was alone, I wasn't really alone.
Right.
You know, and so like even that was like a layer of what was going on. And then as I got like a little bit older, it would be like if I had weekends free, any available time, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, whatever, it was like I would have arrangements to go see friends. And so it was just like I never ever was spending time alone.
Right.
Like at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to envy your ability to do it so well. Like you would get like posted up in your bedroom, you'd have your whole like station, you do all your stuff. It just seemed like the most inviting place in the world. Like the way that you would do it, I'd be like, man, he's just like, I don't know how he's doing it. I don't know how he's so good at being alone. I was terrible at being alone.
But maybe you weren't, because like I feel like what's interesting about this is that where the difference is obviously where you are is like you were alone on this trip, but like at like not at your house, right?
Also true.
Right.
Like also true.
At your house, there is like there can be a certain amount of like, well, I am alone, but like if I'm alone all day and you know like Alice comes home and like the dishes are still dirty, like that I will feel bad for that or something.
Oh, certainly.
You know, yes. Like not that she would necessarily be mad. It would just sort of be like, well, how ridiculous was it that I didn't take care of that in an entire day worth of free time?
Right.
You know, and then that's a slippery slope where it's like, can I ever sit down if there's one more thing I might be able to do that's productive? But like in this case, you are completely by yourself across the country in a hotel room. And it's like, there's not one more thing you need to do. There's nothing. You have no response, literally no responsibilities even available to you.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Like, so then what do you do? And you're like, and what you did was you got all of your favorite things and had a great time.
Right.
Like you can do it. It's just like you need to go to extreme lengths to literally remove the opportunity to be like productive or responsible.
It's true. And I will say that like that productivity and responsibility is limited to like things that I can do physically. So like if I'm home, like in like on those days, like where it was just like me by myself, like pre Addison, like I would do laundry. I would wash dishes. I would wash the cars. I would mow the lawn. I would pull weeds, like anything physical, no problem at all. What I would hate doing is going and like sitting at the computer and like I wouldn't ever like go sit at the computer and be like, I have like 2 hours to be productive. I should go work on a script for Tuesday.
Oh, right.
Like, I don't think I would ever go and do like work.
Well, like work. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's like, yeah, that's like home work life balance. But this is like this, that's like work. And this would be like homework.
True. Yes. So like literal homework, like not what the school sends you home, but like work on your home.
Right.
I quite love.
Yeah.
You know, like I think I do. And I think on some level, you know, I probably even enjoy doing those tasks, but then that's where like society can also sort of like an interesting thing. Cause you like come home or like you go back to work on like Monday or whatever. It's like, hey, what'd you do on Saturday? It's like you had all day. It was like, well, I did chores, you know?
Right.
Like, and it's like, when you say that, you're like, was that fun? Was that a good use of my time? Like,
yeah,
it doesn't sound very thrilling. It doesn't make for a good story.
No, I mean, it can. It's like, it can be like very rewarding to go do that stuff. Like this past weekend, I like finally broke down all the cardboard in my garage.
Heck yeah.
And it's like one of those things, like every weekend I'm like, okay, I need to do that this weekend. And then, you know, we're busy and it doesn't happen.
Right.
But I'm like going through and I'm like getting towards like the bottom of the pile. And I start realizing like, man, I remember like, I think Beth sent me a picture of buying these toys with the kids, like when we were on tour, you know.
And oh, I'm sure.
Like, oh no, it's been like months since I've done this. And it kept being like, I think I'm done. I'd be like, nope, I found another box over here, and then whatever. And I got it all out, and it was just like, oh my gosh, the garage is like so much nicer.
Yeah.
Now it's like, yeah, it's so much stuff gone. And I found a good trash hole at the dumpster. So I was able to just throw it all in like one fall swoop. I didn't have to fight anyone to get physical or anything.
No assaults whatsoever.
No assaults were had. Yeah.
Man, there is nothing better than going to the trash hole and not having to assault someone.
I mean, let me tell you, I went through the entire first line of dumpsters and I was like, this is a classic 101% capacity dumpster situation here.
Yep.
Fortunately, it was only the first dumpster was like that. The second one was at like 95, which is in dumpster terms basically empty.
Yeah, there's
plenty of room for 5% more stuff,
right? I mean, maybe, yeah, even 10,
maybe. Yeah, exactly. At that point, 95, I mean, you got 10% more dumpster to work with, you know.
Everyone knows we can fill it up to 105.
Exactly. Then we're good. Yeah. Unless it is bursting at the seams, there's room.
I mean, like literally no joke, I can't tell you the amount of time in my life. Like, and it's probably like, this is like one of the, like you asked the question once upon a time that was like, which toilet have you spent the most time with,
mm-hmm,
in your life?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like one of those things where you have to like go through and be like, well, where did I live the longest? And how old was I? And was I potty trained?
Exactly.
And, you know, all those types of things. And so it's like, it's actually kind of funny to be like, oh my gosh, it must have been the one at our childhood home, because we, right, like that was the longest stretch I ever lived anywhere.
Right.
And where was, oh yeah. And like, so for me, a weird stat that I could ask them, like when I get to heaven or whatever, would be like, how much time did I spend relative to other human beings inside of a dumpster? Cause I bet it's over 20 hours.
Really?
Physically in a dumpster.
In a dumpster. Doing what?
Mushing it down to make room for other stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like when were you doing this?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. I mean, like, well, in my back in the day when I worked at my first job at Petland, which was like my first 2.5-3 years of doing like a job, one of the requirements, if you worked in the fish and reptile department, was you handled all the trash. So like
for the whole store?
For the whole store. Oh. So there's an entire retail store's worth of like huge boxes and bags of dog food and pallets and bird food and like, you know, just everything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hamster wheels and
right. Something comes in, they take it out of the box, gotta break down that box.
Right. So like I would get to, you know, the end of the day or whatever, and I would go to the back and they'd have this giant like loading dock area, and I'd take my razor blade, my trusty Dusty, mm-hmm. and I'd go through and break down every single box, and you know, then you'd go and try to heave them into the dumpster, and a lot of times the dumpster was full, you know, of all sorts of small animal excrement and stuff.
God, yeah. And you're then there, you have to climb in there.
You climb up in there. That's right. Yeah, you got to shut the side door so that nothing piles out while you're up there.
Sure.
You know, then you climb up on top and you're jumping up and down trying to get it to squish, you know, and it does.
It does, yeah.
You get there in the end. But then, yeah, we move to...
Trash is weak. It scrunches right up.
I get to win.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Ultimate Aquariums, which was our store in Daleville, Virginia. And sure enough, we also had a dumpster. We also sold aquariums, which meant we had lots of like big boxes and stuff for everything that came in. So same thing. I'd have to huck them down there, jump the dumpster, do the same thing. I had an area outside of my apartment at Radford that used a dumpster instead of like small... like trash cans or whatever. So like the it wasn't an apartment complex, it was a church that they converted into a series of apartments.
And we
all had the same dumpster. Same thing, had like that 105% problem where it was like by the end of the week, you know, so oftentimes if I had to get stuff in there, hopping on up there in the dumpster. Then when I have my warehouse for aquarium stuff, same problem again. And yeah, so I mean, just, you know, throughout the years of my life, I've spent like hours, 20 plus hours.
Just in dumpsters.
In dumpsters.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at you go. Man, I did not know this, that you spent so much time in the trash.
Living that dumpster life.
Living that dumpster life. Yeah. You know, you're a regular dumpster goblin over there.
I know. All I can hope is that like I'll get up there and they'll like by pulling up all my stats and I'm like, well, no, here's a weird one. You were first prize out of everyone in dumpsters.
In dumpsters.
It's like you have like hundreds of thousands of hours of this and that and in dumpsters.
And in dumpsters. Yeah. I mean, there's got to be other people who are spending who
would beat me in dumpsters. I know there are some people who dumpster dive as like a hobby.
Right.
Those people almost certainly have me beat.
Right.
You know, but I would say that like if you're not like in, you know, if you're not in dumpster like on dumpster talk,
right,
so to speak.
You're on dump talk?
Dump talk, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad place.
It does sound like a bad place. Maybe don't go check that
out.
Don't
go check that out.
Yeah. Everybody's like, www.dumptalk.com.
Do you remember in high school dump day?
I do.
Do you? Okay, yeah. I feel like this was the class above me, the class of 2005 at Cave Spring, and they were trying to do something called dump day, and I don't, it meant like a different thing to every single person in their class, I feel like.
Yeah.
But there was a guy whose last name rhymed with dump, and so largely it was like posting the same like funny picture of that guy everywhere. And but then it was also just like it just turned into like dump anything. So there'd just be pictures of like dump trucks everywhere. And they were trying to like make like a whole dump day happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quit trying to make dump day happen.
Quit trying to make dump day happen. And the thing was, they let it get too big too fast.
Yeah. It seemed like they like got in like trouble for it.
Yeah. It seemed like they got sniffed out. And I feel like dump day was this like long awaited like thing that was going to be like this really funny day of, you know, celebrating dump.
Right.
And then it got like squashed ahead of time and whatever. It never happened.
It never really happened.
Never really happened.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of potential energy.
It felt like it never really.
But that's, I think that was the problem is that it got too big for its own good.
Yeah.
And then the administrators were like, no, we're not doing this.
Right.
I don't know that one of the ideas was to like put a dump truck on the roof of Cave Spring High School, but it doesn't upset me to think that it could have been.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like overhearing people planning like filling like the AC vents with tiny like confetti sized pictures of this guy such that they would start blowing out of the,
That would be pretty good.
That would have been pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, on an alternative note, I've also just heard of just getting like, you know, like truckloads of packing peanuts and then just like dispensing them into like the principal's office. I mean, I don't know how or where. I don't know who agrees to like to sell such a commodity to to young lads. Mm-hmm. You know, but maybe someone knew a guy.
Right. If that happened and you were the principal, do you feel like you'd be like, I need to punish the students responsible for this, or you'd be like, they got me.
I think I'd be like, you know, the best thing I can do here is have a sense of humor about it, because anything else is just building a wedge. And it's like sometimes like it's a fine line, because you don't want to reward like destructive behaviors. And I do think that things like this can become
Like you don't want to get like out of hand.
Right. The thing I always think about, I give this example for like way too many different things, but like on like a space shuttle launch, like if you're ever like watching any of the movies, sometimes if things are going wrong, they'll say, we got a shimmy. And a shimmy is basically just that, like under enormous pressure, the rocket or whatever vessel is going into the air, a shimmy means that there's like vibration happening somewhere that's not supposed to be there. And usually that vibration is only going to get worse, or something is physically going to break off.
Right.
And rockets are built in such a way that they rely on proportional weight distribution.
Right. A lot of symmetry.
Exactly. To operate effectively. So if you lose a fin, all of a sudden the rocket's going to leer to the right and explode.
Right.
You know, because it's not going to be hitting the right atmospheric checkpoints or whatever. But I feel like you could, like, if you fill the pack, like let's say I'm a principal of a high school, I open up my door, packing peanuts blast me
out,
you know, like a wall, and it just like comes down. I could be upset, or I could laugh about it. I feel like laughing about it is the right way to do it, to like communicate to your pupils that you're like you're a man of taste,
right?
You know, like well done,
right?
That was funny.
Yeah. That would be very I mean, I think it is funny. It's like, you got to clean it up.
You got to clean it up.
That's going to be the frustrating part.
It's going to be the frustrating part, but I think you just got to lean into it.
You just got to lean into it.
Or, you know? Or maybe like that's the punishment, is it sort of like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Those responsible, I will order pizza. You have to help me come clean and we'll eat pizza.
Right.
You know, and it's like, then it's sort of like your punishment isn't really like a punishment. Like, I'm not like sending a note to your parents or like, you know, giving you detention or something like that. But like, come hang out. We'll eat pizza. We'll clean up. It'll be fine.
I think you could take it a step further. You could be like, hey, like instead of like, you're right. Like you could be like, hey, listen, like hilarious. Would, if you are responsible, please come help me clean. Or I'm looking for volunteers or whatever.
Right.
You don't have to like accuse people. Just be like, I would like help doing this. If I can get volunteers to come help me clean it up, I'll just buy pizza for the whole class. You know?
Yeah.
Just drop like 100 pizzas in the cafeteria. You know?
Right. No problem.
Boom.
Yeah.
You know, schools have lots of money to spend on pizza like that.
Absolutely. Surely they've just got bags of money laying around.
Like, you got bags of packing peanuts.
That's exactly it. Yeah. It's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sell it to all the local UPSs. Use the money.
Yeah.
See what we're doing here? We're getting inventive.
Exactly.
Instead of taking a perfectly good packing peanut and throwing it to the dogs, effectively.
To the whales.
To the dumpster gods.
Yeah.
To the whales. Do you mean the real whales of the world?
Yeah.
Like via pollution?
Right.
Yeah. Good point. Instead of throwing it to the whales, nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
Right. Yeah. Protect the whales.
Protect the whales, man.
Right. They're amazing creatures.
Right. You don't want a bunch of dead whales washing up on beaches.
You don't.
No.
You don't. Did you say that to see if Isabel would laugh?
Yeah.
In the somehow we made a beached whale joke like the first week that Isabel was here. And then like a week later, the first ever whale washed up on a beach in Virginia. And it was like, oh no, what do we do?
I know.
Yeah.
Did we do this? And then I was watching a show on Apple Plus, which is like, oh my gosh, why can't I remember it? It wasn't great. It was like about this like uppity
Palm
beach.
Royale.
Yeah, Palm Royale. It's exactly it. And there's literally a scene where there's a beached whale and they're walking out to it. And like one of the ladies is like, oh my gosh, this is hilarious. And I was like, what is happening right now?
Why is everybody laughing at beached whales? Why is everyone
laughing at beached whales all of a sudden?
It's like, it's like, this is so not in.
You know,
it's like beached whales, never funny.
Until now.
Man. Anyway, all right, transition. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. So often when I regale you all with my business ideas, they seem to come from the far away past. But more recently, I had contemplated trying out a sawmill. Not, you know, some like huge structure or building, just like a small little guy that I could use to break down lumber on my land and potentially use it to, and build a house, or more likely make a bench. But just like running a business, I quickly learned that it requires like 53 different hats, not counting the required hard hat for safety, cutting, processing, drying, all before you've hammered in a single nail. And it reminds me so much of running a business. Not every task requires a whole person or employee, and starting out, those expenses you can't always afford. It means you end up doing a little bit of a lot of different tasks, and that's where Shopify is absolutely clutch. Shopify is the ultimate way to get your business started in no time. With their easy-to-use templates, you can start selling right away, and from there, it can help you to write product descriptions, touch up photos, track inventory, sales, and so much more. So turn your big business idea into... with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/poppop. Let's go to shopify.com/poppop. One last time for safety, shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Uncommon Goods. Oh, the holidays. Back in our younger years, Ben, our dear friends, and myself had quite a tradition when it came to how we shared the festive spirit. Okay, so Uncommon Gift Wrapping was the name of the game. Wrap the gifts in the most difficult way you can think of. So there were things like burying each other's gifts underground, inside of massive rubber band balls. We used spray foam, duct tape, shrink wrap. I sunk one of my friend's gifts in a pond once, and he had to go get it in the snow. Ben, I'm not kidding, used a lionfish one time to guard the gift. But these days, I like to think we've matured, and now the name of the game is Uncommon Goods. And Uncommon Goods has a brilliant selection of some of the most unexpected, unique, and impressive gifts you can track down this holiday season. Like, personally, I've used them just for myself, not even for a gift, but I'm the proud owner of a popcorn bowl, which has this cool kernel sifter at the bottom, so you don't have any more, like, tooth-breaking handfuls of popcorn, because you guys know how much I love popcorn. But then, there's all sorts of stuff. There's, like, NFL game day bingo cards. There's, like, murder mystery jigsaw puzzles. Guys, listen, I'm not kidding. They have a cast iron potato baker for the Gryffindor in your life. Like, how cool is that? Like, honestly, if you're going, maybe I've inspired you here, and if you're going to, you know, go and set your loved one's gifts in concrete, and I recommend that you do, you should at least find them something special to, you know, uncrack at the middle of that big old block. Look, an Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, like from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers to sports fans to foodies, mixologists, gardeners. You're going to find all sorts of crazy, unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/poppop. That is uncommongoods.com/poppop for 15% off. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
We had to get as far away from beached whales as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Look, and I brought it right back.
You brought it right back to the surface.
Jay, your boy, young Luke, sir,
yeah,
is 8 years old.
He is 8 years old. Luke celebrated his birthday over this past weekend. It is like the Thanksgiving break is always interesting for me because it's like we get, you know, we take Thanksgiving and Black Friday off, and then we have the weekend, and it's like it should be like this nice little like 4 day break, and it's like I mean, it was still good to, like, you know, have time off and stuff. But it's always incredibly busy.
It is.
Because we, you know, we host a Thanksgiving, as we said, and then Black Friday is just like, you know, it's either clean up from Thanksgiving and or go shopping. We ended up, I took the boys to go see Zootopia 2 with you.
Yep.
That was
great.
Fun.
Actually, and on the note of Zootopia 2, without giving like a full review, it was good.
It was good.
Who knew?
Yeah. Zootopia 2. Good stuff.
Yeah. I thought they picked up right where they left off. They kept everything.
I mean, like, literally, it's like the movie takes place like a week after the first one.
Yes. Yeah. It's really crazy. So anyway, yeah, it was a movie that, like, I feel like Zootopia to me has always felt like, as far as the Disney umbrella is concerned, it almost feels like an outlier, like as if like the style guide for it is like,
I agree,
mildly different. Like, it almost has like a DreamWorks Disney-ness.
Right. To like it doesn't feel like a Disney movie.
Right.
But it is.
It is. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So anyway, but yeah, I thought that was really fun. It was a very unexpected surprise because the thing I was mostly excited about was just going to the movies with Addison and you guys. And that ended up being wonderful. And Addison was adorable, though she spilled lemonade all over my lap. No problem. We got through it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay. At one point in the movie, I guess, did you want to come sit next to Luke? Was that it?
No. So we had like a row of seats. We actually had our friend Trainer Gabriel come with his two kids, and you were not all the way down was the problem. You hadn't gone to like the furthest seat in our row.
Okay.
And so the other people showed up on the other end of our row and they were like, you're in our seat. So we had to make room for them. So we were supposed to shimmy shake everyone down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she came to sit next to me at one point.
Well, I thought that you were going to move your boys down as well.
Oh.
And everybody would just move down.
I see.
But it's okay.
I got it. I see what happened.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Well, anyway, what was funny was that, yeah, so I guess you moved Addison down and then she was sitting between me and Luke. And I think she watched the movie that way for about like 3 minutes or something, you know? Yeah. But she's like, she turns to me or she starts like calling for you like, daddy, daddy. And I'm like, oh, what do you need? And what do you need? You know, she's like, I need my daddy. And I was like, okay, like, can I help you? Like, what can I do for you? And she goes, you can get my daddy. I was like, cool, Luke, get Uncle Ben.
Yeah. She was so cute. But yeah, so she came down and because there was like a weird, you know, traffic jam or whatever with the seats, whatever. So she just sat on me the whole time and she like is leaned back with like our lemonade on her chest. And all of a sudden I feel like my pants just soaked. I'm like, oh no. And then Addie, like, you know, she went through in the past year and a half, like potty training and everything. So,
yeah,
you know, all of a sudden she feels herself wet and she's like, daddy, I need new clothes. And I was like, I'm also in the same camp as you right now. Mm-hmm. We're just going to wade through it.
We're just going to wait it out.
Yeah.
Lemonade's like such a bad thing to spill on your pants.
It really is.
It's really just the wrong color.
Yeah. Yeah. Also just having like this area of your body completely soaked. Just not, I mean, it's not
comfortable.
It's not great any which way, but it's okay. We ended up being fine.
Yeah.
No complaints. Anyway. So yeah, sorry. Luke's birthday weekend.
Yes. So yeah. So we did that on Friday, and then Saturday is Luke's birthday.
Hey.
And this will be the case like pretty much forever that it will be like on the Thanksgiving weekend.
Right.
You know, Luke's birthday can never be on Thanksgiving. It is the 28th is the latest Thanksgiving can ever be because if Thursday is the seventh day of November, then it'll be the fourth Thursday, which will be the 28th.
Okay, got it.
So it can never get to 29. But so anyway, yeah, Luke's birthday. He, despite having a like, you know, a decidedly, you know, I guess it's still technically fall, but it's, you know, freezing outside. Winter birthday, managed to get a pool party going.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
We went to the I don't even know what it's called. Splash Valley.
The Green Ridge Rec Center.
Yeah. Green Ridge Rec Center, also known as like Splash Valley in the summer when the outdoor part of the water park is open.
Right.
Yeah. But this was just more like the indoor park. It was a pretty good little party there. A lot of his buddies showed up and we had some friends from out of town who were able to show up as well. I think they all had an absolute blast at the party. It was fun seeing everyone, you know, get in the pool in the middle of November.
Yeah.
Didn't allow that.
Oh my gosh. I know. I woke up and I was like, my brain was so not in like bathing suit space. Sort of like, how is this going to work? What are we going to do? But we ended up getting out there. And when we had gone to the Great Wolf Lodge, a couple of years back, which if you remember, we have a pretty scathing review of not our favorite trip we've ever taken, which I was also sick then when we were there, which I don't think helped my matter at all because it just meant that, like all the congestion and blah, and you're surrounded by all these people and it's just but Addison was a little timid to go like get super involved with all the like pools and slides and spray bars and all those types of things.
Yeah.
But so this is like a very, very, very small version of that, but still a pretty big room altogether. But she went in the water and I'm there in like streets. So like my jeans, like shirt and everything, she would not get out of the water. And so like you guys are leaving, all the kids who attended the birthday have left. I am there like by myself with Addison.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like hollering at her. I'm like, Addison, like we need to go. Like we have somewhere else we need to be. And she's like, no.
She's like, what are you gonna do about it, Dad?
And I was like, I am literally helpless.
She's like calling your bluff.
I know. I was like, I can't do anything.
Right.
Like, and I wasn't about to go ask a lifeguard to go get her because I was like, that would mortify her forever.
Right.
And so I'm just sort of like, oh no. It's like, I can't get her back. And so like other parents like looking at me and they're just, everybody just thinks it is the funniest thing in the world. And I'm like, all right, we're supposed to be going to like a Friendsgiving this night. And I'm just sort of like, Addison, Addie, we need to go. You can have candy if you go. And like, and then I'm getting like judgmental looks from people and I'm sort of like, oh gosh, oh no,
and I'm bribing in public. Yeah.
I know. It's like, oh, this is not crazy, but there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. But she eventually got out.
Well, that's good.
Point I'm really trying to make, she had a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Well, did you see my text that, I guess your nephew Noah was there.
Yes.
Yes. And I was, I thought you were going to say like, oh my gosh, I went and got him and he got in the pool or something.
Oh, well, so that was the thing. So this is very interesting. So, Noah is my brother-in-law, Mike's son. And, he is someone who I was like there the day he was born, and he is now, he'll be 16 next year.
Crazy. In March.
I know, and it's crazy. And so he's like, you know, I've grown up with him. He comes on vacation with us, like all sorts of stuff. He is just a very, very, very sweet, but otherwise very quiet kid.
Yeah.
You know, and which is fine. It's really cute to see him like when he comes out of his shell and stuff. But so when you texted me that Noah was there, the thing that I know Noah does at Green Ridge Rec Center is go and shoot hoops. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like one of the things like that, like me, like I'm always just so curious about is like what Noah is like around like his peers.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, this would be so interesting. So like, you know, me and Addison get all dried off, you know, she's in dry clothes and all that. And so like, we go over and there's like a nice big like window that looks into the gymnasium. And so we just like watched him shoot hoops for not long, like 2 or 3 minutes or something. But I was just like, this is so crazy. Like I'm seeing him like in the wild.
I know, in the wild.
Like where he like, cause it's just happenstance that we're in the same place at the same time. But man, he has got an amazing jump shot. I was like, holy,
oh yeah.
Yes. I was like, that was like, he jumped up. I mean, it was like perfect form, ball overhead, perfect flick of the wrist. And it like soared in with like what, that, like, you know, college swish.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. Oh man. I was so impressed, but I didn't get to really like take in like anything like really anthropological about the experience, you know, but it was still pretty interesting.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. I'm always like, yeah, I always wish I could be like a fly on the wall at like, you know, my kids' classrooms.
Yeah.
Just to like, see what they're like, you know, in a setting completely away from home without like, you know, mom and dad being there.
Right.
You know, just around your friends with like, you know, no pressure or anything.
I know. So. I know. Yeah. It's such a rare thing to be in on, but then also you kind of feel a little bit like you're not supposed to see it. Like that's supposed to be like their privacy. Right.
I mean, yes, exactly.
So yeah. Anyway, but yeah. But no, it was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty fun. Well, I'm glad you got her out of the pool eventually.
Thank you. Me too. Yeah. I was like, Addie, we have mermaid fingers, which is what she calls like pruny fingers.
We have mermaid fingers.
Oh, we got to go.
You don't want to get mermaid face now, do you? I know Ariel makes it look really good, but not the same for us.
Right. Yes. Yes. She's hand drawn.
Yeah. They can not. Just draw the wrinkles right out. You know?
Right now.
We get all wrinkly.
All wrinkly.
Ain't no good. Ain't no good. Yep. But okay. So, so Luke's birthday then also meant that I was on like toy assembly duty for the day as you are.
Naturally, you get to do it in such rapid succession between Luke's birthday at the end of November and then also like, you know, less than 1 month later is Christmas.
I know. I'm like, Christmas is coming right up. I'm going to be right back in there, I'm sure, with some other mad contraption that came in a box. And now I'm spending Christmas Eve assembling it and whatever, hurting my back.
Dad life. Yeah. Okay. I have a very brief aside and I'll let you get back to it because I know you got stuff. But one of the very funny things is Addison has this big like National Geographic floor puzzle that we do that's like all the 50 states.
Oh, nice.
And it's one of those things where like I have gotten to the point where like sitting crisscross applesauce on the floor with her hurts my back.
Oh.
And so it's like one of those things where like I was sitting there, I was like, God, this really hurts my back. And I was like, I'm just going to tell her that. I was like, Addie, can we do this at the table? This hurts my back. And now she keeps being like, Daddy, can we go do Lego? And she's like, we can do it at the table since I know sitting on the floor hurts your back. Look, so sweet.
Dude, I have two little things. After I got this, the vasectomy, which we talked about a few months ago.
Yes.
Like, you know, my kids love to come jump on me all the time.
Naturally.
And that was like a big no-no afterwards, you know. Right. And like same thing. Like they're so used to just running at me full speed and jumping on me on the couch or whatever. We had to like really sit them down. And then they would come up and be like, I just can't jump on you yet because your crotch hurts. And I'd be like, yep, that's right. Thank you. Correct.
You got it in one. Yeah. Man, what an unexpected X-rated episode for us.
I know, right? I know.
We joke sometimes that the pop is PG-30, which is that it's not necessarily specifically appropriate or inappropriate for people under the age of 30, but it becomes far more appropriate over the age of 30.
Yeah. Right. So then also you just talking about like your back hurting or whatever. When I was getting dressed this morning in the locker room, I was overhearing a conversation between like two older gentlemen who were also just like changing and getting ready to go work out,
right,
or whatever. And one of them just comes around the corner and he goes, oh man, look who's, you're just like back pain, man, you just keep coming back.
Like, that's what he said to you?
Not to me. They were talking to each other.
You're just like back pain.
I was like, that was really funny. But then as the conversation progressed, I feel like it could not be clearer that the guy who said that, he was really talkative, and the other guy was just like, I do not want to talk to you.
It's like, you're like, kind of ruining my whole quiet solitude.
I know, right? It's like, I'm trying to, you know what? I'm getting in the pool. See you. Bye.
Right, that's it. If I get in the pool, you can't talk to me out there.
Exactly. It's very solid. Yeah, it's hard to talk in the, you know, you want to swim together? It's like, we'll be near each other while we're swimming.
Right,
know?
Exactly. Yeah. Not much speaking, though.
Not much speaking, you know? Blah, blah. You just got to focus on your breathing and stuff like that. But so anyway, what I was assembling for Luke on this day, if you don't know, my son Luke loves the store Target.
It's such an unexpected turn.
I know it is. He likes the store Target. I mean, he has got a little stuffed animal that is the like Target dog. It's got like a little bullseye on his eye.
Yep.
He calls it Spot. It is one. I mean, he has many, many stuffed animals, but I would say it's in his like top five.
Okay. You know? I mean, that's good.
It makes the rounds.
Yeah. Sure. It wouldn't be unreasonable for him to be upset that he didn't have it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay, right. He will specifically, you know, wonder where it is by name on occasion.
Okay.
You know, including this weekend, although that's probably because of some of the other gifts he got. Another thing he got was an Optimus Prime Transformer.
Okay.
But I would say the fact that it is Optimus Prime or a Transformer at all is really secondary to the fact that if you know Optimus Prime, you know he's like a big semi truck.
Yeah,
like a semi truck. This truck, this version of Optimus Prime is a Target branded truck.
But it's still like Transformers Optimus Prime.
Transformers brand Optimus Prime Target collaboration.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 The crossover we were all hoping for. You know, back in the day it was Survivor season one. You know, do you remember the big like tarp they had was a giant like bullseye for Target?
Oh.
Do you remember that?
I do. Wow. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean that was like before Target was like Target. I'm going to Target. You know, it was like still like a much smaller thing or whatever. But so Transformers and Survivor, the unexpected Target brand deals.
I know. So he had that. And then the big gift this year was like a Target playset in the form of like a cash register like checkout stand.
I'm pretty thoroughly impressed. Like you sent me a picture and it's got like the little like, you know, like the things you grab at the checkout counter. It seems like it's got like little cardboard cutouts of like bags of chips or candy bars or packs of gum or something. Little like a little conveyor belt. Does the conveyor work?
You know what? There are four separate things you had to add batteries to for this checkout conveyor belt station.
Okay.
And not one of them was making the conveyor belt move.
Wow.
Yes. Instead, for that, there is a little hand wheel that you can crank and it will make it move.
Interesting.
And I was like, you guys made spots for the table duder to doot, for the bar, like the gun duder to doot, for the cash register to beep, and for the credit card machine to beep when you slide a card in it. I had to put batteries in all four of those things, but the conveyor belt doesn't move.
I wonder if that's like a like fear of child's hand getting sucked into the vortex.
It's very possible. But yeah, of all the things, the main feature of the checkout stand
doesn't operate
without you having to crank it. And then it's such a tiny crank. It goes like 1 inch per like full crank. It's like,
oh no.
Fortunately, it's also a very small checkout line. So
that's good
about it. And then again, with a bunch of like prop foods and stuff. So you can, you know, get your little Target, you know, reusable bag and fill it up with your groceries and bring it to the station and dude it. And it came with a little phone that is, you know, it's just got a sticker on the front, but it's set to the Target app.
Good.
So you can use all the discounts.
I love it.
You've got your Target branded credit card, you know. I'm like, boy, they are selling it thick. All the groceries are like things you can only get at Target, you know.
Here I am being like, I'm starting out of young with my with convenience stores. And it's like, yeah, no. So, okay.
Well, Ben, I'll tell you what, it's almost the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Because whilst you are passionate about convenience stores.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't like Target.
I know. And it's like, you sent me the picture on Saturday night of the Target checkout thing. And I was like, this is very ironic.
It is the most ironic, because I really don't like Target very much. And I mean, Beth was laughing at me too. She was like, the absolute irony of you having to spend I cannot tell you how intensive this build was too for toys.
Yeah.
I mean, there were so many pieces. To say I had to screw in like over 60 screws or so.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, fortunately, I've got, you know, I was, you know, electric screwdriver.
But I mean, yeah.
Super coming in clutch.
Right, right.
You know, while I got the batteries out and stuff, you know. But it took at least 3 hours of assembly.
Wow.
Just like doing it. And she was just laughing. I'd be like, of all the things that you have to assemble this Target. Then we have like this big red station in the house.
Like the bullseye.
With the bullseye on it, everything. And she was just laughing. And I mean, for good reason. And yeah, it is just sort of a great example of how like there is a certain like irony to life and how like parenting can come like full circle and be very poetic at times or whatever.
Yeah, like restorative healing maybe.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain it?
So I'll explain it for you guys, and I will tell you the story, and just know that it is absolutely a story of me being, this is probably still the dumbest thing I've ever done, and I have carried the shame of it around with me for well over 18 years at this point.
A literal lifetime.
Yes. It's like I have been, since this has happened, I have lived longer than before I did when it happened.
Yeah.
So like a literal lifetime has passed, and yet I still feel embarrassed about it. And it's just like, I was like, this was happening this weekend, and I just felt like it was like the universe telling me, like, you got, like, you know, you can let it go. You can, like, you should tell this story, because, like, you know, like the thing is, it's like, despite my own experience with Target, like Luke, he doesn't know my story about it at all.
Right.
So his enjoyment of the brand is completely innocent and like unbridled, and he just like, he has so much fun with it.
I mean, yes,
you know,
right. And they've gone to extreme measures to make it fun.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, what happened is that when I was 18, it was just after my first semester of college.
Yep.
And I was home for winter break, and it was like, it had been a tumultuous first semester in terms of like, me and Beth had started dating the summer before college.
Yep.
And so we'd had like a really like, you know, difficult adaptation to doing long distance dating and stuff. And you know, juggling like really intense feelings for each other and then like not being able to be around each other. And, you know, like long distance is just hard.
I mean, long distance is hard, and then couple it with both of you being incoming freshmen at college.
Right.
Which is also just sort of like, you know, like the thing about, yeah, anyway, everybody gets it.
Everyone gets
it. You are entering effectively like the most primed dating pool known to man.
Right.
Which is, you are surrounded by X thousand number of appropriately aged people in the exact same stage of life with the very similar set of ambitions.
Exactly. And, you know, you're both set in that situation. Neither of us had cars. And this is even before like smartphones or anything, you know?
Yeah.
This is just like back in the earliest days of ye old Facebook.
Right.
And I don't even think, I think the phone I had was like a flip phone, you know?
Right. Skype probably wasn't a thing.
I think we had like iChat.
Okay.
Which did have like a video feature.
Okay.
It wasn't great, but even so, we didn't use it that much.
Sure.
Or anything. Anyway, long story short, we had like just broken up at like the worst possible time too, like right at the end of the semester.
You're about to come home.
As we're about to come home, right in time for exams and stuff. Really good mental state to be in.
Yeah.
And I think it was just like, you know, really mentally tearing both of us up. And then it's like, you know, part of the problem is that you haven't been around each other, but now we're about to be in the same city again for a month while we're home. And then it was just like I was like, you know, back and forth, but then it was like, no, like, let's, you know, let's try and, you know, work it out kind of thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, spoilers, we get married and have kids and everything's great. Yay.
You celebrated 10 years of marriage this year.
This year. So anyway, but yeah, first semester of college, hard. Anyway, I was in an absolutely terrible mental state at the time in terms of like the emotional upheaval of it all. And I think I was trying to like think of like something we could do together that would be like fun. And what I landed on was, I thought it would be fun to like teach her how to play Yu-Gi-Oh, which was the card game I had played, you know, a bunch in high school and stuff.
Yep.
But in lieu of wanting to like go and revisit all of my old cards and like build decks, I was like, I'll just go get some starter decks or whatever.
Right.
Right. But I didn't have any money to do that. Cause they're like, you know, they're like so expensive. Not that it's going to make it okay or anything, but so my solution was to like, you know, just take them myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without paying for them, right? Not a great decision at all. Not cool, not smart. Don't steal. It's dumb. It's bad. But I went to Target, and this was that, and that's like sort of like what, and I don't know. I really don't know what I was thinking, but I know that as I was exiting, I got called over by the head of security, and they were like, "Hey, what you got in your pocket there?" And it was like, "Oh God." It was you know, exactly as terrible as you might think.
Yeah.
It was extremely embarrassing. I was already just like completely out of my mind with like stress and like emotions anyway. And then all of a sudden I'm being like detained in the back of a Target for a $20 deck of cards, which is the most stupid thing ever. And I am like barely comprehending like what they're talking to me about. Like there's going to be like, you know, like court dates, and it's like they're, you know, it's like you're trying to listen, but also it's just like, what is happening right now? Like it feels like the whole world's imploding on you. And like
it's like we were kind of saying earlier, it's like you're dealing with a very adult scenario,
right?
As someone who's been adult for 10 months.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And so like it was a really dumb decision to ever like, I don't like to even ever do something like that. But there was like, you know, I had to go to court. And, you know, you see those little black eyes in the skies or whatever at, you know, like stores and stuff. And like, if you're thinking like, oh, wow, those cameras are pretty far away. Well, they can zoom in just so far. They are all in effect and someone is back there watching them. So,
yeah,
you know, they are better. They are very good cameras. and it was, I don't know, I guess it was, you know, it was petty larceny, really. And there's, you know, like penalties that go with this stuff like that. And, you know, I had to go to court and everything. And it was like a very, it was so embarrassing that it ever happened. And I just never should have done anything like that. And ultimately, like, I went to like counseling and stuff. I went to, you know, I did some like community service. I did, I got like letters of recommendation from like people in my life and stuff. And we brought it all to court and whatever. And they ultimately ruled it like, no contest, which is not like innocent or guilty.
Okay.
But what it typically means is that, like, whilst they won't, but you still have, it's like you are going to be punished as if you're guilty, but not like recorded that way.
So it's not like on like a record.
It's not like on your record or something like that. but that did mean that I ended up having to spend 4 days in jail, which was still just the worst experience. Just absolutely, absolutely terrible. And like, I don't really tell the story very much because I just continue to feel so ashamed by it and embarrassed. But like, I when I think back, I'm like, boy, the spending 4 nights in jail for like a deck of cards seems like very severe. Maybe not. I don't know.
It does. I mean, it seems like, you know, you just hear about like all sorts of stories of like things that kind of go wrong, kind of like bad, you know, situations, like whatever. And it feels very, very, very harsh, like for what it was.
Yeah.
But like, and like, I know, like, obviously, like I was there. I went and visited you like while you were,
yeah,
you know, in jail, like me and the GMA went. And mm-hmm. If you ever hear someone ask me like, what's your favorite like bad joke? It's like, what do you call a sheep with no legs?
Yeah.
A cloud. and I remember our friend John asked you that joke,
yeah,
while we were in there, and like you came out and, you know, we're like through the glass and everything.
Oh my
gosh,
it's all
just,
I
like
know.
So miserable. And I saw you smile, and it was like one of those things that was just so like impactful.
Right.
Like it was, I mean, it's going to sound really strange to describe it this way, but it actually was like a very like special moment. Like, I think what it was, you know, for like our group of people, it's like, I don't think any of us, we didn't have any judgment over you. I think we just felt bad for you. It was just like, this just sucks. It sucks the way this went down. Like, all of this is just like so ridiculous. But like, I felt like there was like a very like through thick and thin kind of thing that was like demonstrated.
Yeah. I mean,
in that moment
there, like, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you're right. I do remember that. Like, it didn't feel like, you know, yeah, you guys didn't feel like you like judged me or anything. Like, Beth also came to visit me, which was great. And that was like one of those moments where you're just sort of like, yeah, I think we're going to make it, you know?
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah. Like, to be able to like, yeah, to see through all the chaos. And I do think in a lot of ways it makes certain things just like that much more human. And I mean, honestly, like, I'd say I was very like, I am proud of you. Like, you came in this morning, you were telling me about, you know, the Target booper and stuff like that. And, you know, of course, like when you sent me the picture, like the thought crossed my mind and I was like, I know why this is ironic. Like, I understand the layers of like the situation or whatever, but like, you know, I know also early on, like I similarly shared like, you know, my weird story of getting in trouble when I was mm-hmm. also 18 and I also had to go to jail. And it was like, you know, it's been like one of those things that like, you know, our team has known about it, like whatever, like we've talked about it. It's like, you know, it's come up. And I always know this is kind of something that you've kept to yourself. But I also always suspected that part of like you keeping it to yourself was like this, like your relationship to the situation. But I feel like it is a cautionary tale. It was a dumb thing that young kids do. Young kids sometimes do dumb things, but also in no way ever since then have you ever, like, it's not like you fell into some weird trap. And like, that's why I think it's such a good story to share with the world. It's like, you can make a mistake. It doesn't make you a bad person. That did not define who you were. It is not like a part of who you are. It's not like you are someone whose morals, like, I look to, you know, as like someone who I can look up to every day as like a guiding example for me to be like a dad and a husband and a brother and like all those types of things. So it's like that, like, to me, I think it's so helpful for the world to hear a story like that, because I think when you make mistakes, sometimes I think people redefine themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely such a big mistake. And I will say, it's like, you know, I hate that it happened. I hate that I ever did it. But then in a lot of ways, like, I feel like there was a lot to learn from it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't, I will tell you this. Because I don't think I've so much as, like taking a pen from the cup at the, you know, at the bank or something, you know?
Right. Yes. You know? It's like, they're there for you to take. I'm not even going to test it.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't, and it's not, but it's not like I've noticed times where I've like accidentally held something. I will like make sure I go because I remember when I was like walking back, there was like the bailiff or whatever, and he seemed very unimpressed with the ruling, or whatever. But, and I remember him saying to me, like, once a thief, always a thief. And I was like, and I remember, like, I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
You know? Because what he meant wasn't he wasn't saying like, I know you'll do it again. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like, you know, I don't think that's what he meant. I think it meant like, if you've run a marathon, you'll have always run a marathon, you know?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Right.
Like, it's sort of like you get the scarlet letter that you get to carry with you forever.
Right. Now. Like, you know what? Like, you know what? Like, even if you never do it again, you did do it or whatever sort of thing. And it was just like, I remember hearing him say that, and it just felt like you're right. Like, it felt like it like branded me or something.
Yeah.
In my brain. And just like, I don't know. It was.
I personally find it to be the exact wrong message. And like, I think that's exactly what I'm trying to say about you sharing now is like, it's like, do not let people convince you that because you've made a mistake that you have to carry this with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Like, it's just not how people need to see themselves. It is like, you know, it's not saying like, go out there and make a mistake and everything should be forgiven or anything like that. Like, the consequences suck. Like, you know, I can tell, I'm watching your body language. I can see you. Like, I know it's like uncomfortable to relive these experiences. And I think it speaks to the discomfort you had attached to all of it.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a very uncomfortable experience. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is no doubt. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, like, I mean, it's just that, like, I think what it really helped. I mean, not, I don't know. It's like, it is the idea, like, that I think there was like I feel like it rewired my brain like in a bunch, you know, like, you know, like, not to steal or not to, you know, break the rules or whatever. But so often I feel like when you're like growing up, it's like, don't break the rules because if you do, there will be a consequence or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that is, I think, like, it's true and it keeps you from breaking the rules, but it doesn't necessarily reinforce why the rule exists or like really why you shouldn't do it. Because the reason not to steal something isn't because you might get caught or because, you know, something bad could happen to you.
Right.
The reason not to do it is because it is a morally wrong thing to do.
Right.
Right. Like, that is like that is the difference. Like, it's like you took something that does not belong to you, and that is the wrong thing. You know, it's like when, even like, you know, driving down the road or whatever, like, I but one of the reasons I hate driving so much, like on like the interstate and stuff, is because I can never be in the right lane no matter what. You know, like, if I'm in the right like I whatever the speed limit is, I'm like, you know, maybe like five over or something.
Sure.
Right. You know, it's like a little bit faster. But like if you're in the right lane, you're catching people. And if you're in the left lane, people are tailgating you.
Right.
It's like for like that, whatever my line of comfortability with the speed limit is not where anyone else's is.
You're people too fast for right, too slow for left.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's like, it's not good. But then it's like, I don't really like, you know, I know. And then I know all the people flying past me on the left, like they clearly don't care. You know, they're just like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, you can go 20 miles over. No one actually cares.
Right.
Or whatever. And it's like, that's not the point. It's not that you could get away with it. The point is the speed limit exists
for so safety.
Because if people crash, less people will crash.
Right.
So you can stop
and
not get hurt. And it's like that is the difference. That is the difference. That's why you should follow it, because it's safer, not because you might get a speeding ticket.
Right. Yeah. And I do think that that's where, like, understanding that there are consequences as a young child to developing your own moral compass is exactly what you're describing. And like, morals are something where I think you really start to look at it, because it's like, I'm not going to do this thing, not because I'm afraid I wouldn't get away with it. I'm not going to do it because it goes against my own code.
Right.
You know, and that code is something that I've established as like a way to, but you know, be a good example for others, to protect others, you know, to ensure safety for all those around us. You know, it's like it's like a very internal thing for the benefit of a very external everything.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I think it's a hard lesson to learn, a difficult moment in life. But I also think that like, one of the things that I've kind of enjoyed about what we do with our show here is like, you know, I think you and I both have been able to use popcorn culture, specifically this podcast. You know, I mean, we try to be funny, we try to be silly, we try to talk about like all sorts of, you know, different things, observational, whatever, like we want to be there with you and all those types of things, share our experiences and thoughts. But I also think that like, it's a really great opportunity for us to like sort of unpack some of like the things that like we have experienced. And like, I hope that even that your experience from me, you know, making the big decision to share this story, is that like, it will help you like loosen your own grip on whatever negative feelings you associate with the experience.
Yeah.
Because like, the truth is that like, I don't think you have to hold on to a sense of shame. You don't have to be proud of it. And I don't think you'd ever be proud of it. But like, I think that you can stop beating yourself up. You learned from it.
I mean, yes, I definitely learned quite a bit from it. Yeah, for sure. Like it definitely like, you know, like changed like who I was going forward.
For yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, like I said, it's been, you know, basically an entire lifetime since then.
Right.
Since it happened. But it is sort of the sort, like, you're right. Like, I really don't like talking about it. I feel like, but in a way, I feel like it's also like part of why I wanted to talk about it was because I do feel like it's like, you know, it has continued to have like a grip on me for, you know, 20 plus years.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, I don't feel like I'm a different person than I was then.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not like a stupid 18-year-old who's going to do anything like that anymore. So I don't know. Hopefully, I don't know if I feel like you're right. There's like, I feel like people have these things in their lives that like they just hold very close to their chest, and like we all make mistakes, and you know, at some point you have to stop blaming yourself or like holding yourself like to like that like level of, you know, shame for those mistakes, because I think at some point you have to like forgive yourself some too.
You do. You absolutely do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you know, look at you now. You are like a responsible member of society. You live in a wholesome, you know, well put together family. You're a good example for your kids. Like, you know, even what we do out here, you know, it's like, I was thinking about this. It's like, if you were to see both of us at 18 at our lows, and then think about like the trajectory that like lies before us, like how wrong was that bailiff?
Oh, I know.
You know, right. like I mean, and it's like one of those things. Yeah, it's like you get entered into that system, and I think that people are so convinced that it's like you like that there's a gravitational force of that system, and it's like once you're a part of it, you are now in orbit, and it's just a matter of time until you get to zip back around again. It's like wrong, not how it has to be.
Not how it has to be.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And actually, I want to find it. There's you know, as a little call out to, you know, you guys know how much we love Name of the Wind. I want to see if I can find a specific passage that I feel like speaks to the experience that you just went through.
Oh, okay. Let's see
if I can find it. Oh no, I spelled it wrong. So this is going to be from Wise Man's Fear, chapter 73, Blood and Ink. In a later chapter, less argued and less well known, Tekum explains that there are two types of secrets. There are secrets of the mouth and secrets of the heart. Mm. Most secrets are secrets of the mouth, gossip shared and small scandals whispered. These secrets long to be let loose upon the world. A secret of the mouth is like a stone in your boot. At first, you're barely aware of it, then it grows irritating, then intolerable. Secrets of the mouth grow larger the longer you keep them, swelling until they press against your lips. They fight to be set free. Secrets of the heart are different. They are private and painful, and we want nothing more than to hide them from the world. They do not swell and press against the mouth. They live in the heart, and the longer they are kept, the heavier they become.
Mm, yeah.
And I think it's interesting because there's almost an inverse relationship between those two things. Like, gossip can be problematic. It can make people feel bad. It can create problems with people you love. You know, like,
right.
Like gossip has a reputation for doing that. And so it's almost like secrets of the mouth are these things that want to break free. They will break free. They always break free. You will probably experience secrets of the mouth, if not daily, at least weekly.
Right.
Somehow, some way, you will hear whispers.
Right.
You know, secrets of the heart are the ones that we hold very near and dear. But I also think that, like, secrets of the heart are the ones that we don't want to share, but probably are the ones that we could share.
Right.
You know, and that is not... it is not to say that they need to be pressed out. It is to say that every single person and every single secret of the heart is a relationship between those two people and, or between your heart and yourself. And only if and when you are ready to do so, should you share. However, I think that there is a sense of relief that can come with such a thing.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'm just proud of you. That's the main thing. I just want you to I think it was a really cool thing. I was really just impressed, and I was like, I thought it's not a secret of the mouth for me. It was just is a secret that I would hold for you. It's not something I need to share with people. It's not something I need to talk about. You know, it's
right.
Like I think in understanding your privacy, it's like, this is not something I'm going to discuss.
Right.
But I think it is interesting to see you come to your kind of like own, I don't know if terms is the right way, but willingness to share.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there was, like I said, where I was, it was Luke's birthday. And Luke's birthday is always like especially impactful, I feel like, because that, you know, when Luke was born was like, you know, when our, like, you know, my whole life was really, really, really changed.
Yeah.
You know, that was like a crazy day. So it was like, you know, and like, you know, so much for the better. And I always tell him that on his birthday, I'm always like, man, my whole life changed that day. But so then, ironically, to just be like sitting there building literally a cash register for like Target for this thing like he loves so much. He was so excited about it, you know. It's like, and of all things, like the cash register, you know, so the very thing I was avoiding that day.
See, we laughed.
And then yeah. And now I had to build one in my house. And
right.
Which it's like, you know, it's just funny.
But
it's just funny.
But even that, you didn't let the demons win.
Like, yeah.
Like it's the kind of thing where you could have unexplained to Luke for the rest of his life why you would not get him that toy. And instead, you got it for him for his birthday.
Well, it's like, you know, I think because there's also like a certain amount of like, you know, certainly I haven't shopped at Target. Well, I mean, I have in the past couple years, but, you know, for probably like 18 years, I certainly did not.
Right.
You know, yeah. But like, not, you know, my kids like to go and, you know, pick out toys and stuff.
Yeah, they are kids.
They are kids. Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. There could have been like, you know, well, we don't shop at Target because I don't like them because of these reasons or whatever. But it's like at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I can be mad at Target and I cannot like Target. But, at, you know, because I feel like, because, you know, part of me feels like, you know, they doled out such like a harsh punishment or whatever. But at the same rate, it's like it's not even for me to dislike them. I'm the one who did something to them.
Sure.
You know.
Right.
So it's like that's, you know, getting, you have to sort of just like get over, like, you know, it's like I can get over that for my of on my own accord and not, you know, like pass that like trauma on, I guess.
Right.
You know. So that was, you know, yeah. And we got it for Luke and he had a blast with it. And we've got our little Optimus Prime Transformer and our Spot the dog and, you know. Luke just likes the Target merch, so I think it's funny. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like I said, I think it's excellent to bring it to the table. I think you know, like I said, you know, in past couple of months when you shared other things, like I think there are people who will benefit. I think it's, you know, there are probably plenty of people out there who have their entire life stories and they're sort of like, you know, surely someone listening right now was kind of like, "Huh. Okay." You know, like, cause you could be someone that somebody else looks up to and to know that you had this relationship with this situation, like that might help, you know?
Yeah.
And if that can happen, it's like you took a bad thing and you gave a good gift to the world.
Well, I hope so.
You did.
I hope so.
I'm proud of you.
Well, thanks.
All right, guys, we will leave it there for today. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. Until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Through the Gryffindor is hitting the road once again for Through the Griffin Tour this upcoming March, and we are headed to the southwest section of the country this time. We are coming to Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Houston, and Dallas. I am so excited for this tour. As usual, we'll have our VIP tickets in case you want to get, you know, to meet me and Ben. We will be doing a Jay vs. Ben before the show, answering questions submitted by you guys. We'll be doing Q&A and, of course, a live performance of Through the Griffin Door. It is my favorite thing in the world, being out on the road, meeting you guys, interacting with the community. There is seriously nothing like it at all. Tickets are on sale now to every single one of those show dates. If you want more information about dates and times and specific venues, you can head on over to supercarlinbrothers.com/events. Seriously, I cannot wait to see you guys in real life and to be back on the road with the entire crew. All of them will be there. You get to meet the entire SCB crew. Like, it's, I mean, I know we talk about magic, but it is real. This is the real magic of the show. It's not in the books. It's in the people. We'll see you there.